I'm Brad Hillwig, and this is Normalish, a podcast about the ways in which all of us are adapting our lives in real time to the COVID-19 global pandemic. Just a quick note, this is the second episode of Normalish. If you haven't listened to the first episode, you can go back and start from the beginning. After more than 2 weeks of some pretty strict social distancing, one thing is clear. Occasionally, you have to venture out. But right now, almost everything we might consider as normal just isn't. Like this.
I'm taking Leo to get neutered right now. And because their procedures are different, I gotta call them when I get there.
Due to our new protocol because of COVID-19, you can just stay in your car. And call us when you are here, and we'll come out and get Leo.
Thank you for calling the Pet Stop. This is Sharon. How can I help you?
Hi, I've got Leo, the dog, Leo.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have a couple Leos today, but...
We do. We are doing a neuter today.
Yep.
And what vehicle are you in today?
I'm in a black RAV4.
All right. I will send somebody out in just a minute, okay?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I can grab him for you.
Sure.
Hey, bud. Easy. Nope.
Okay, bud.
Hi, big guy.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Take good care of him.
We will.
Bye, Leo. Oh, man. A woman in gloves and a mask just came out and, like, circled around the car, kind of, and handed him off, and then he went inside and looked out the glass and looked back at me. That's kind of sad. He's gonna be fine. He's gonna be fine.
Not a single part of daily life has been spared. And with a highly contagious virus spreading through our communities, even the simplest tasks feel pretty risky, especially with a wife who's 7 months pregnant and considered high risk for COVID-19.
7:30 a.m. We're about to go grocery shopping.
Which one? Are we taking a bigger cart or a little one?
That's Victoria, my shopping partner. Our local grocery store has special early morning hours for what they're calling vulnerable neighbors, like the elderly, or in our case, expectant moms. It helps limit exposure to others.
Got our hand sanitizer. Got our wipes for the cart.
There are a lot of recommendations swirling around out there with tips on how to shop safely for groceries.
Everything that goes to this side of the table is going to be considered clean and sanitized.
A doctor from Michigan posted a video telling shoppers to spend as little time as possible in the store and showed how to methodically disinfect each product at home to make sure the virus isn't living on any packaging. That video has almost 25 million views.
We're almost at checkout here. There are lines, red lines on the floor to keep people 6 feet apart.
Our goal, get in, get out, avoid people, and sanitize immediately.
Okay. It's our first attempt to get takeout food.
And then there's this.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Getting takeout food from a restaurant that's otherwise shut down just felt like a good way to support a local business we really liked. But the process of getting that food, I wasn't quite prepared for that.
Station number?
9.
On in. Station 9's gonna be around the corner. They'll walk you through the process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
After ordering and paying over the phone, we were instructed to wait in the car until called. Then you get a station number at the front door. Inside, booths are labeled with numbers. I found my food and a sanitized pen at station number 9.
Thank you all for being so thorough. This is great. Weird, but great.
Then exit through a separate door. We took our food home and immediately threw away the packaging. It was reassuring to know they were so thorough, but the process was clinical. Where was the joy of food, something that brings people together? And what happens now in the food industry?
Hello, this is David. How can I help you?
David, sir.
I don't think I've ever said the word David in a while.
It sounds way too formal.
Yeah.
Meet Delicious Dave Thorne. He's an actual rock star chef. Dave spent years on the road as personal chef for musicians like Neil Young and Justin Timberlake. He even catered for President Obama when he visited Alaska in 2015.
But the whole world is dealing with it the same. There's no race, no religion. It's hitting everybody.
Now, to be closer to his son, he runs a catering business in Anchorage.
I've already been quarantining for a long time. Sam's mom and I have a strong pact because he potentially has lungs that could be volatile to the, COVID-19. So we are doing everything we can to not keep, to do the social distancing, to not going to stores or being outside, because we'd like to dodge this as much as possible.
Dave also splits his time as a chef at one of the most stunning places in Alaska, the Sheldon Chalet, perched on the top of a glacier just beneath the peak of Denali, the tallest mountain in North America.
Because since everything's on hold or a lot of gigs have been canceled, I want to go up to the chalet so I can make a little bit of cash. But when I do get back, that means I have to quarantine 14 days before me and my son can have our normal week on, week off schedule. So that's something to think about mentally. And, it's a hard choice, but you got to sacrifice what you need because I do need to pay the mortgage.
At the time we spoke, the chalet was following strict protocols, but still expecting a couple of visitors.
I'm still contemplating what is the best sacrifice, borrow money if I need in a month or two, or, go work and try and just have some sort of normalcy. But I don't know. I probably won't go because it's going to be the best thing for my family to beat the ratio. But, yeah.
Nationwide, the food service industry has been hit hard with forced shutdowns due to COVID-19. The National Restaurant Association is forecasting losses of $225 billion and between 5 to 7 million jobs.
Unfortunately, the restaurants and the suppliers and the the fishermen, the farmers are just going to have a back stock of food and hopefully it gets donated and used. But there's a big trickle down effect. I feel bad for all the people that have just, a bunch of fresh produce and seafood and, hopefully they're able to go through it and not waste because, it's a crazy domino effect.
For Dave and other food service workers in Alaska, the shutdown is coming right before a normally very busy summer season.
I love wedding season. It's great. I love supplying just, again, the experience and the food and the nutrition for like a whole family and all their friends, like 200 people, like trying to get the food like perfect and nail it flavor wise. And I love that. And I hope it clears up so people can travel and come here and, celebrate people's lives. And I want to celebrate people's lives with them. What we have is right now today, you and I talk and have this conversation. I don't have tomorrow yet, but when I think about the future and planning for the family, I have all these weddings already scheduled, a couple other different parties. One wedding's already been canceled. And if I start seeing this trickle-down effect, and that takes away my business, I'm a little nervous.
Still, with all the uncertainty, Dave is finding hope right where you'd expect, at home with food and family.
We're now cooking everything at home. Like, I have the time to teach my son how to cook. And we're now, figuring out, before you called, we were chopping up veg for tonight's dinner. And, we threw a couple cameras around the house so we can video it and share this on the social media. So it's been fun. That's the one thing I like is, I'm teaching my kid knife skills and how not to be scared around a hot oven or, searing fish. Tonight we're coming out with, a seared white salmon. Now he gets to have a skill that's going to last him the rest of his life.
In those videos Dave mentioned, he's not kidding.
The oil in the pan is hot. Grab the garlic and the onion.
How about a multi-camera shoot put together by 11-year-old Sam at home, making food with his dad?
All right, Sam's added everything into there. What we're going to do is bring the liquid to a boil. And once it's at a boil,
I feel we're going to have a new way of life anyway after this. I think it's just going to be a little bit more cleaner, a little bit more awareness. We all eat and we all want to sit down at a table and look each other in the eye and have conversations, yell at each other about politics and religion and who's right and who's wrong.
Dave's also busy right now brainstorming creative new ways to safely connect people with food. And he's certain that when things turn around, the food industry will be a vital part of the healing.
Again, we all in the world have in common is food. We all eat, there's, music and dancing, but it's all part of humanity. Like, food is what is going to bring people back together.
Hello? I am currently in my junior year of college. I was down in Flagstaff, Arizona, doing an exchange program through the National Student Exchange, but I have returned home because of COVID-19.
This is Hillary Chappett. She's also been wrestling with the question of how to support small businesses in the middle of a global pandemic.
There's no time to wait when these things happen. Like, small businesses don't have the safety net to close for a week and keep paying their employees. Personally, most of my favorite businesses here in Anchorage are small businesses. They're locally run businesses that hire locals, and they're really important to our society and our community.
Hillary was home from college for a visit when COVID-19 began escalating.
I came home and surprised my sister for spring break, and I was going to be here for 10 days. And about the third or fourth day that I was here, they started shutting everything down. But I decided just to stay here because there's, like, I would rather be socially distancing at home where I have family around.
Hillary is no stranger to small businesses. She started her own while in high school, making stickers and jewelry. And at home in Anchorage, she works for two different coffee shops. She and her family aren't taking COVID-19 lightly.
My sister and my stepdad both have diabetes and are immunocompromised, so we've been taking it pretty seriously around my house. I have been working, but there we're using our bleach rags to wipe down the iPad between every person and wiping down the credit cards that come through. Pretty much anything that enters the shop gets disinfected. And then at the house, we've been doing that exact same thing. If something comes in the house, we go grocery shopping, all the packaging gets taken off and put into containers to, like, keep it sanitized as much as we can. We've been all been wearing gloves and face masks when we go out, mostly to keep ourselves from touching our faces.
As small businesses began making drastic changes in response to COVID-19, like offering reduced hours or different ways of delivering services, Hillary saw a need and an opportunity to help.
Wow, these businesses are having to make these really hard decisions to close or convert to go. And I didn't really know, like, I personally didn't know what was going to be open, when they were open, how to shop there. At the time, I was looking for something that the community could use and figure out how to continue to support our favorite businesses. And so I wanted to develop a place that people like me who are looking for ways to support their favorite businesses could find that information easily.
So Hillary turned to social media and created a public Facebook group.
I decided to call it the Alaska Small Business Bulletin. It's kind of like a bulletin board for people to come and post when they knew some information, or businesses to come on and share their information with people. And I didn't really expect a lot of people to join right away. And by the end of the first day, we had over 100 people in the group. And that was definitely very shocking. But it was very heartwarming because we started to have more people posting, and it was just nice to see a community come together.
The Alaska Small Business Bulletin Facebook group now has more than 350 members and a steady stream of updates about local businesses.
The businesses that reached back to me, or the ones that have been posting, they've all seemed super appreciative. Some of them have reached out saying that, like, it's been really helpful for them, and that warmed my heart that I was able to do something.
Hillary plans to continue supporting small businesses, both with her online community and by working at local coffee shops, even while taking every precaution possible.
I do worry about getting it, mostly because I worry about passing it on. That's my biggest fear, with the 2-week waiting period of knowing, like, you could develop symptoms later. When I go to work, I'm like, okay, each of these people are someone that I could potentially pass it on, or they could be passing it on to me. I know that if I got sick, I'm a low-risk person. I probably would be okay. I'm trying to do a good job of keeping my immune system up. I just worry about other people.
Okay. You gotta be quick in there.
Why don't you tackle the fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, fruits and vegetables.
Officials have told us that if we go out, we should assume every person has COVID-19 and every surface contains coronavirus. Keep your distance, wear a face covering, and wash your hands as much as possible. It's a way of living that seemed unthinkable just weeks ago. For us, an unscheduled stop at an uncomfortably crowded grocery store ended in a vow. Victoria would no longer go out for non-essential tasks, only things like doctor's appointments, until the baby is born in May. A precaution against a threat we simply have no way of seeing.
Back.
Oh. Are we ever going to return back to normal? Like, that was way tense in there.
Our motto at the American Lung Association is, when you can't breathe, nothing else matters.
Marge Stone King is the executive director of the American Lung Association in Alaska. She's been working to support respiratory health for more than 17 years.
And I thought of my grandmother, who had survived polio and survived breast cancer, but had severe asthma all of her life. And that was the thing that terrified her, was not being able to breathe.
COVID-19 is a respiratory disease that attacks the lungs. And for Marge, that's both a professional and personal challenge.
I do have asthma, and both my daughters have asthma. And when you have asthma, oftentimes it results in asthma exacerbation. So your illnesses can go on longer and be more severe.
When the COVID-19 pandemic gained momentum, her first concern was her two college-age daughters. One was about to go to Mexico for spring break, and the other was traveling in Europe.
So that, of course, as a parent, was a really scary situation. And, you know, ultimately, I was very impressed with my young adult kids and in how they made decisions and changed plans. So the kids that were in Europe cut their trip short and came home, and we quarantined for 2 weeks in the house here. And my daughter that went to school outside, her trip was canceled, and she got back to her campus and at that point was sick and had all of the symptoms of COVID-19. I was, of course, panicking on the inside. If she had COVID-19, not only would it mean that, you know, she wouldn't be able to travel, she would be there by herself and, you know, have to face all of this illness and, you know, potential hospitalization and all of that on her own. She called the campus health center and talked to a nurse, and fortunately her fever broke that night, and when she went in, she was diagnosed with flu. I thought, you know, she was going to have to face this alone. So huge relief to hear that it was just flu.
March's daughters are both back in Alaska now, and they've made it through a strict 14-day quarantine. Still, they're being extremely cautious.
I'm coaching my kids to try to stay in the moment and take it a day at a time and look for the opportunities, you know, the opportunities that we haven't had before, the opportunities to help other people virtually or through phone calls or, you know, running errands for people. But there's going to be opportunities in anything. And what are the opportunities for me to do some good, tackle projects at home, or to spend more time with family, or to pick up the phone more often and call people across the country or even across town?
And Marge's opportunity to do some good extends to her work with the American Lung Association.
We work in public health and respiratory health. And so the COVID-19 pandemic is directly relevant and affects our mission and our work and the populations that we serve.
The American Lung Association's mission is to save lives by improving lung health, which sounds pretty relevant these days. They're offering a host of COVID-19 resources, including webinars, a phone line for specific questions, and an informational website to make sure people know the facts about COVID-19.
That motto that I mentioned, when you can't breathe, nothing else matters, has always really resonated with me since I first came to the organization. Certainly, the COVID-19 respiratory pandemic makes me appreciate the healthcare providers, the respiratory therapists, the doctors, the nurses, the health educators, all of those working directly with patients. And it makes me, you know, that much more grateful for their service.
When you can't breathe, nothing else matters. It's the stark truth of a disease that attacks respiratory health. But underneath, the human element always finds a way.
The one thing I miss is just hugging. Like, just I want to hug all my friends, all my new friends. And, you know, that touch is just gone, and it sucks. But I think we're all, like, we all want it. And once, you know, the protocols start getting slashed and ease up, I think there's going to be a good amount of people that go back out.
Until then, we'll have to continue keeping one another safe and looking for opportunities, supporting small businesses,
spread the word and use this,
fighting for lung health,
online giving,
or sharing time together at home.
We need to learn new recipes, like we're a monk with salty crackers.
Oh, and Delicious Dave tells me those chalet guests, they rescheduled for next year, giving him more time to spend cooking with his son at home. Which is where you'll find us.
This is going to get sautéed in a pan with some butter. Oh, can you pick that up so the dog doesn't eat it?
Yeah. No, Leo, that's not for you, bud.
And I'm happy to report, Leo is healing quite well. And the folks at the Pet Stop Vet Clinic in Anchorage, they took great care of him.
We have a doctor's appointment coming up this week.
That is going to be an ultrasound in the morning. And then it'll be followed up by a doctor's appointment in the hours later.
So you gotta go to the hospital twice.
Pretty much.
Next time on Normalish, a special tribute you won't want to miss. You've just heard the second episode of Normalish. I want to give a very big thank you to everyone who shared their story with me on this episode. Dave, Hillary, Marge, and of course Victoria. Links to some of the resources we talked about are available in the show notes for this episode. A special shout out to the Pet Stop Vet Clinic as well. Great folks over there, and they took great care of Leo. I plan to keep making episodes of Normalish, so if you want to participate, call 605-620-1811 and tell me your story. It goes straight to voicemail, but if you want to call back, just leave me your number. I'm hoping these stories will make us feel a bit more connected during this time of uncertainty and isolation. Take care, everyone, and thanks for listening.